I think we're good. Hey guys, welcome to A Story with Rory. I am your host, Rory. I am your host, and this is the new podcast of A Story with Rory. We have our very first guest on tonight. His name is Randy. He's from the USA, and he has a crazy story for us. So let's dive into what we got here. Randy, it's good to have you on the show today. How are you doing?
Good to be here, Rory. Thanks for having me. I'm doing okay.
Okay, so let's hear what you got. What's your story? To go ahead and let us know kind of the background of it, when it happened, and we'll go from there.
Sure. So this goes back, you know, back to when before I got married. So even a little bit before then. So basically, backstory is that I was pretty much raised by my grandparents, and in their later years, I was really kind of their primary caregiver. You know, I would go cash their social security checks, buy them groceries, and make sure they took their meds and everything. And because of that, they, when they passed on, they gave their house to me. And so I inherited that house. And, you know, after my granddad passed away, I was actually in the room in his bedroom when he passed away. And that was quite a story all in itself. But before he passed away, he was suffering from dementia and he would roam the house at night. And I would have to get him back into bed and everything. And so anyway, once he passed away, you know, I felt a little creeped out being in the house all by myself. So I moved back in with my parents. I was going to school there and in Chickasha. And so I just moved back home. A friend of mine, we went to school together. We were band buddies. You know, we played in a little band that we had, and he played guitar and trumpet, and I played banjo and guitar and stuff. And so he needed a place to live. And so I said, hey man, yeah, you can live in the house there. And so he moved in, and I was thinking about this today, somewhere along the line, we even moved this big old upright piano in there. But oh, basically, yeah, basically, we just kind of made a little recording studio out of it. And we were big Beatles fans. And, you know, we would just play in there for hours. And so one day I saw him at school at USAO there. And he said, you didn't come over last night, did you? And I said, well, no. I said, I would let you know if, you know, if I was going to come in the house, you know, in the middle of the night. I'm not going to walk in on you or anything. Because he said, man, the strangest thing happened. He said, I was asleep and I heard this loud banging in the house. And he said, I didn't know really what to think of it. I was a little bit afraid, you know, he said. So he said, after he kind of got his courage worked up and he didn't hear anything else, he went into the living room where we had all of our equipment and everything. And he turned on the light and everything was just in disarray, but all the doors were still locked is the thing. And the thing that I remember most about the story is that his trumpet, you know, a lot of times trumpet players will, when they're not playing their trumpet, they'll put it in a case, you know, just so it doesn't get damaged. Well, you know, when you're playing it all the time, like in a little studio or something, you can set them on these little stands.
Right.
And so he had his trumpet on this stand, and the trumpet was on the stand, but it was all banged up. Hmm. It was like bent and everything. And I even saw it the next day at school. I said, man, what in the world happened? And he said, I don't know. He said, it happened in the middle of the night. I heard this noise and it, you know, he tried to kind of bend it back into shape. I felt really bad, you know, for him because he really liked his horn and he got it repaired and all that. But so there's that. Okay. That was the first strange occurrence. Well, this is probably around 1976 or so. And I got married in May of 1977. So kind of an uncomfortable thing to do, but I had to ask Lowell to leave because Jan and I were going to move into that house. And we put a lot of work into remodeling it and everything. And it was a crazy deal because back in the day, they didn't really pay a lot of attention to building permits and things. When I say back in the day, I mean like in the 40s and 50s. And so, my grandparents, they just kept building on. This house just kept going back and back and back. And they would just build extra rooms. And so anyway, when Jan and I moved in, we said, well, we're not going to use those back rooms. Okay. And so we just kind of left it as storage. We had a washing machine and dryer and things like that back there. I think a freezer and stuff. But we had to go through that back part to go to the backyard and to put the trash out and that, but we really didn't live there. So anyway, we had a big pile of stuff in there. And one of the things that, for some reason, I don't know, but my mom kind of got into the occult, when I was a teenager, which was really weird because, you know, I never had known her to do that, but she was kind of into horoscopes and psychics. And at some point she bought a Ouija board.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, no. Now the crazy thing is, if you Google search for what a Ouija board box looked like in the 70s, it was freaky. Okay. That there was this very dark, sinister image, you know, the kind of a blue image with two fingers held out. And the Ouija board itself goes back, it was patented, I learned, in 1890. So it'd been around, that concept had been around for a long time. And Parker Brothers, same people who made Monopoly and all that, they just had it out. There's this innocent little board game. Okay. Right. If you talk to enough people who have had interactions with those boards, they'll tell you that strange things happen. Okay. And I, you know, I totally get it that people can game it and make it sound like, you know, make it feel like you're getting answers and things like that. Me personally, I think it probably sets you up for some satanic stuff. I think it opens a portal and, you kind of invite that thing into your life and you pay for it later on. Well, anyway, I never did play much with it, but so we had this game in the box on top of all this stuff. Well, after Jan and I got married, it was really common for her sisters to come and spend the night with us. And every now and then just to, you know, crash in Chickasha as opposed to going back out to their house out in the country. Mm-hmm. And so one night her youngest sister, Mary Kay, was spending the night with us. And she walked through that back room. She saw that Ouija board box with the sinister image on top and it freaked her out. She said, oh man, she says, I can't be around that thing. I can't look at that thing. So she flipped the box over and she felt better that the sinister image, you know, wasn't looking at her. Yeah. So, to speak. So that was kind of getting into the evening. Next day she comes in and she says, why did you turn that box back over? And I said, I didn't turn the box back over. I don't even know what you're talking about. I said, I haven't touched. I haven't been back there. I asked Jan, I said, did you go back in the back part of the house last night? No, I haven't been back there. Some way, somehow, that box got turned back over again. So it's weird, you know. So weird things are going on in this house. Well, I guess the story kind of ends. So I eventually wound up moving up here to Oklahoma City. And so we rented out the house to several people, but the last people who lived there, it burned down on them. And they said it was an electrical fire. Could been, you know, I mean, it probably was. I mean, the wiring was bad, but I still thought it was just one more really weird thing that happened in that house. And I typically am not a big believer in hauntings, but at the same time, I know there's things I can't explain.
Right.
And so it's just a weird, weird, just series of experiences going on there. And I often wonder if it was my granddad, you know, kind of roaming through the way he used to look for my grandmother late at night.
Mm-hmm. That's very possible. I mean, yeah, especially when that kind of history lies in with a house like that, you know. Had that kind of thing ever happened before, or was this kind of like a series of events and then it just stopped?
I never had any inkling of it until that incident with my friend. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time that I had any idea of anything weird going on. But we also had one weird incident while Janet and I were living there. One night, these headlights appeared in the driveway next to where our bedroom was. And it wasn't anything paranormal or anything, but it was just strange that this guy gets out of his car. You know, we're just married, okay? And strange car drives up. Chickasha is not a high crime place, okay? Especially back in the 70s, you sleep with your doors open and windows open. But I go out there to see what in the world's going on. And he claims to be this high school principal looking for this student. And it didn't really occur to me until months or maybe even years later what a bogus story that was.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, you're a high school principal and you're from like I forget what town it was, but it was like across the state. And
that really adds up, man.
Didn't add up at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like those experiences are so unexplained. And the thing though, that was, I think, the freakiest of them all was that thing that happened with my friend Lowell. Although the Ouija board, that's kind of crazy too, you know?
Yeah. Like, how did it get turned right back side up, you know, and no one was in the room, nothing happened like that. It was very just,
yeah,
like unexplainable.
Like I say, even though I joke around and say we slept with the doors open, we seldom did, you know. We always kept them locked and stuff, and we made sure that the back doors were locked and things like that. So I'm pretty sure we didn't have intruders in either one of those situations, but it's just kind of a weird thing, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, you would have heard if somebody, you know, evidently broke into your house, or you heard something out of the ordinary, you know, you would definitely be on guard. And yeah, it's just, it's kind of like, what can your mind imagine on how it happened? You know, that, I think that's kind of sometimes almost worse than the thing itself, is like what you think. What are the endless possibilities that could have happened here? And your mind starts dwelling on those things. And it's kind of like, I want to find an explanation, you know? So yeah, it kind of just gives you the chills just thinking about things that happen without any kind of explanation, like a box gets turned over or a door gets, you know, unlocked every time you lock it, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, only one can wonder, like, what the heck happened, you know?
Yeah.
That's wild.
It is. And I've thought about both of those incidents several times, you know, and I just can't make sense of it. And, you know, it's crazy because, like, when I was in Boy Scouts, we would go, there's a cemetery to the south of Chickasha, kind of by this little place called Ninnakaw, called Brief Seminary. Cemetery. And in fact, my Eagle Scout project was cataloging all the graves there, and we cleaned it out. We spent several nights camped in that cemetery at various times. Mm-hmm. I bet I camped in that cemetery at least half a dozen times.
No way.
Yeah. And never had any kind of strange thing happened. There's probably 100 people buried there, pioneer times through the 30s and 40s. But yeah, so, you know, it's funny that you know, I can say that I've slept in a cemetery several times and didn't see anything. And then in the house, you know, there you go. So,
well, I tell you what, I mean, out of all the houses we've lived in, the one on Morning Glory, okay. And I don't think I ever told you about this, but I remember one night I heard this kind of like laughing noise, and it was basically just like the washer, the dishwasher in the kitchen. It was kind of making this like laughing noise. And I was like, what is that? You know? So I got out of bed, you know, and I don't think me and Ryan were split in a room at that point. I think I might've been in my own room at that point, but I remember I got out of bed and I walked down, cause we had that long hallway. So like we came out the door and went down that long hallway, and I saw the light from the power on the on switch from the dishwasher, like basically illuminating like kind of like the front entry area. And I went through those little cowboy saloon
little
doors.
Balloon doors, yeah.
And I heard this noise go, ha, 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 ha. I was like, no way. I was like, so I was trying to like go through the kitchen. I'm like, what's making this noise? Is it the dishwasher? Is it something else? But I mean, that was the only thing that was on. I just wanted to make sure. So I walked up to the dishwasher and put my hand on it, and it just got really loud, like, ha, ha, ha. And I was like, okay. I was like, I don't know what I felt, what I heard, what I saw, whatever. I turned about face and went back to bed, pulled the covers over my face, and I was just like, Jesus, please help me. Like, I just, no, I'm scared. So, yeah, but I mean, out of all the places I've ever lived, that's the only thing I can remember happening that was truly weird. Now, like my wife's, what is she? I guess it's her grandmother's sister. They had a whole bunch of weird stuff happening. So like, this is a true story. Okay. This is out in the areas of Pawnee, north of Pawnee, Pawnee County, but they, forgot what road it is, but her grandmother lived in a house where previously the owners, the guy had burned his wife alive down the street. Okay. So down the street, this guy sets his wife on fire. The wife runs to the neighboring house, which is Addie's grandmother's sister, or no, it was her grandmother, but her sister had something completely different happened to her, but it was weird. Anyways. So the lady was running down the street or running down the dirt road, and she's on fire. And I guess she went up to my wife's grandmother's window where she was a little girl at the time, you know,
oh wow.
She was sleeping, and she was standing in front of that window, and she just like put her hands on the window, I guess, and she was burning alive. So her grandmother saw that and was like completely like petrified, you know. And every time she tells me the story, I just get chills just thinking about it. But the lady burned alive. She died right there outside of her window. And so I forgot what it was. It might've been months later. I'm not quite sure. But at nighttime, they would always hear footsteps going up the stairs, no matter what. And the only way you knew there was someone was on the stairs, it wasn't when they stepped on the stair, on the actual stair. It was when they raised their body weight off the stair, and they heard that every stair. And so her grandmother would literally have her sheets over her head and be hearing that. And I mean, it was still traumatizing, you know,
yeah,
being that young and having all that happen to you. But I told her on the paranormal scary stuff, I was like, that kind of takes the cake for me. Like I've just never heard of anything like that happening, you know, but there are truly stories like that, like everywhere you go, and you just don't hear about them. But yeah, yours was, I mean, that's kind of eerie. Like, yeah.
I'm glad I wasn't there by myself at any point. I don't know what caused me to move back in with my folks, except that the house was just too big for just me living there, you know.
Right.
And even when my friend Lowell moved in, I just said, sure, you know, you're welcome to stay here, but I didn't want a roomie or anything. So yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely some strange stuff happened there. One other real quick thing that happened that was
kind of amazing. So I inherited my grandfather's 1949 Plymouth. And so as a teenager, I drove that car to high school and everything. And I eventually got a Mustang and all that. But before I got that, I was working on the Plymouth one day, and they had these old car jacks in the day that they weren't like we have jacks today. They were, you know, kind of like sometimes you see with Jeeps and stuff that ratchet up.
Didn't they go on your rear bumper? Didn't they attach to the rear bumper?
Right, right. But stupid me, I had it on the side, on the driver's side of the car, doing something like, I don't know if I was changing a tire, but I was kind of around the bottom of it. And that jack gave way with me underneath. Underneath the car, and I cannot explain it except an angel maybe, that I realized it was going down, and I was gonna get out under it. It was like everything just went in slow motion, and I was able to. And ever since that day, really terrible jacks.
Wow, absolutely, yeah, especially Harbor Freight. I'm sorry, not Harbor Freight. They're not sponsoring this video, I promise you.
Harbor Freight.
Oh yeah, that's really a no good situation right there. I mean, even that, that's wild. I'm actually having a guest on tomorrow night, and I can't really reveal the story, but it has to do with an old car similar to yours, and a jack, and the kind that attaches to the bumper.
Really?
So, yeah, yeah. So. He will be on tomorrow night. It's a Bigfoot encounter. But yeah, took place in the '50s, and it's a pretty interesting story. So that'll be on tomorrow night.
Cool. But,
so is that all you have?
That's all I have, man.
Okay. Well, we do not have the 20-minute cutoff window anymore, but, I will let you get going. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and we'll just call it that. Does that sound good?
Sounds good to me, Rory.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining the story with Rory. I am your host, and this is our guest, Randy, and we are out. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.